Welcome to Move Wild Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Clapson. The aim of this podcast is to explore, learn, and spread the message of rewilding and natural movement so that we as humans can live in more alignment with our nature and reclaim what it means to be fully alive. The modern world has stripped away so much that used to nourish our mind, body, and soul. This podcast will help illuminate how we can reclaim and restore our innate, wild, capable, and strong spirit. Thanks for joining me on this journey. Welcome back to another episode of Move Wild Podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. So today we're going to share a little bit about what we've been up to, what's happening with our travels, and our thoughts on the episode that I recorded and shared on Tuesday with Monty Sharma. So we're going to be talking about a bit of permaculture and our thoughts on that. But first, to start off with what we've been up to over the last couple of weeks, we've been traveling, heading up the coast. Right now we're at a place called Bluey's Beach near Seal Rocks, and we've been really immersing ourselves in nature, getting out in the sunshine, training, jumping in the ocean. And one of the big intentions of this travel, this road trip that we're currently doing, is to try and learn as much as we can around the different skills that relate to rewilding. So we're both amateurs or novices in the world of spearfishing and freediving, and that's a big intention for us, is to become more masterful at that art, and also hunting and ancestral living skills, and to really connect with different people, and also on our own practice these skills just by going out, but hopefully get along to workshops and retreats so that we can bring all that knowledge that we gain from this trip back to the retreats that we will be running next year in February. And so that's kind of the intention behind this road trip, as well as to be able to really just experience Australia and experience the wild places and move naturally and do all the good things that we preach or advocate on this podcast, such as just getting out in nature. And last night we slept out under the stars, which was really nice. Had a fire. We've been having fires for the last couple of nights, but really connecting with nature and also learning all these skills.
I've definitely been loving the softer side of rewilding, like you said, camping out under the stars, fires, collecting firewood, just being out in nature a lot more, meditating, breath work, the simpler skills that seem a whole lot easier to do when you're fully immersed like this. We've also just been cooking up on the fire a lot. We've been experimenting with carnivore diet. You guys may have heard of it. Fair bit of meat, which has been pretty sweet for fires and really easy to do on the road actually. It's pretty awesome so far.
That ties into like our want of trying to collect food from the land and get more into wild foods through spearfishing and hunting, and really be able to honor where the animals that we're eating come from. At the moment we're just getting stuff from butchers, but we want to move more and more towards getting wild foods and even getting into some foraging. But I think that ties really nicely into a point that Monty brought up during the podcast that I recorded with him, talking about information and knowledge and how they're not one and the same, and information can be gained and sought out through means such as looking on Google, searching something on Google, or looking at a video on YouTube. And that's fantastic if it serves the purpose. But knowledge is a deeper, more experiential thing. And that's really why I think I'm doing this, and I think it's why you're doing this as well, is to really be able to have and gain that knowledge and that wisdom through the experience, through actually practicing. I could look up on a video, on a YouTube video, how to spearfish, but I'm never going to truly know how to spearfish until I actually go out and fail and try again and fail and try again until I get better and better and better each time.
Yeah, totally. And it's almost like a body education thing rather than just a mental thing. Like physically doing the movements and ingraining those movements and patterns in your body rather than just knowing in your head how to do it is very different. You can do all the education on martial arts that you want, but if you never practice it and you get into a fighting situation, your body's just not going to know how to move. And it's the same with any other skill. You got to, you know, practice and repetition is key.
Yeah, I think it's that thing of moving towards unconscious competence and like acknowledging that cycle and acknowledging that the only way that you can move towards like a state of being where it's just within your body, it's like muscle memory, is through conscious practice, is through like acknowledging it. It's not through, you know, reading on it. It's not through, it's yeah, you can't learn it unless you do it. And you got to be open. Also, that brings up the idea that you got to be open to the possibility of failure. You got to be open to the possibility that you can learn lessons from failure as well in the doing. And that's a part of it, and that's a part of the journey, because it's very comfortable to be able to read or learn about that stuff from, you know, a position of just searching it on Google. But it's a lot harder when you actually put yourself out there and fail, and when you try those things. So more moving now towards the podcast and talking about permaculture in general and our thoughts on that. A few like little points that I wanted to bring up and that I talked with Monty about were like some points that I'm just curious about. One of them is he talked about how Australian soil is very infertile and very hard to grow in, and how, you know, Costa Rican soil, due to the volcanic ash and the volcanoes there, it's a very fertile soil to grow in. And I'm not sure whether he meant Australian soil has been depleted due to bad agricultural practices, and I think it definitely has, and the topsoil is being depleted due to those practices. So I won't talk specifically to that point, but I will share that the perspective on how livable a place is changes depending on the lifestyle that the people living there apply to that land. So Australia is a very old continent, and, you know, from a grower's perspective, for example, or from an agriculturalist perspective, the soil here might be very hard to use to plant and grow and live off of this land. But there was a culture living in Australia for 60,000 years that managed to use techniques to live off this land just fine. They managed to not only survive, but also thrive. So the perspective of those people, the Aboriginals living in Australia, was not that of Australian soil health is bad because we don't have this, that, and the other. It was, how can I get food from this land in the most efficient way? And they found a way to do that. And I think that's just an interesting perspective to bring to the table, because it's not always that we are, you know, it's more about how the perspectives that the people living on the land come to it with. If you're an agriculturalist minded person, then you will view everywhere you go as whether that place is suitable to grow your crop in or whether it's not suitable to grow your crop in.
Yeah, completely. And I think it also is really interesting looking at what are you trying to grow. Trying to grow, you know, unnative plants here, yeah, it's not going to work. But looking at what grows naturally in Australia and planting that and consuming that, would just, that's flourishing here.
Yeah, exactly. And it is all about just understanding the land more than it is about, yeah, I guess it's the perspective, and I guess it's just understanding the land and how to manage the land. You know, Aboriginals knew how to manage the land, and I guess it's all about management techniques, because yeah, it's going to be easier to live a certain way in a very fertile place. It's going to be, you know, easier to grow stuff in Costa Rica, but maybe it's going to be easier to, you know, do another strategy for getting food in Australia. And that's, it's just all dependent, and it's not, you know, it's not one. And this is not talking to his point, because I'm not sure if he meant specifically the soil has been degraded through agriculture, or it's just, you know, quote unquote bad soil because it's a very old continent. But that's just a different perspective, I think, that was interesting to offer. So another kind of thing that I find interesting about permaculture and also regenerative agriculture kind of as well, but to kind of like, they've kind of become two opposite ends of the spectrum, even though they're so closely linked and tied in together. And what I mean by that, permaculture and regenerative agriculture are both very broad models, of course, and they're both more philosophical than they are practical. But the practical aspects of permaculture seem to be centered around growing a lot of plants. And interestingly, Bill Mollison, the founder of permaculture, I believe that he espoused an idea that animals were an integral part of a permacultural system or a practical application of a permacultural system. But interestingly enough, a lot of permaculture farms have moved more and more towards kind of being lumped in with more of the plant-based community and more of the plant-based movement. And regenerative agriculture, which is more of a livestock-based system in practical application, has also, on the other side of that spectrum, been lumped in with more of the ketogenic, carnivore, paleo movement. And so it's kind of a shame in my eyes, because they're both extremely good systems, and I do believe that both plants and animals need, like, the land needs both plants and animals in order to restore, heal the soil and have healthy soil, and for nature to work in symbiosis and have symbiotic relationships. But it's just interesting that those two camps have kind of taken, in a way, those two areas of like, yeah, regenerative agriculture being taken by the carnivores and permaculture being taken by the vegans. And that's not always the case, but I just noticed that, and I thought that was an interesting little point to bring up. And I think that they're both fantastic systems, and they both overlap in many ways. And you don't have to be a vegan, or you don't have to be plant-based if you want to get into permaculture, and you don't have to be, you know, on a heavy meat diet or a heavy animal-based diet if you want to get into regenerative agriculture. I think they're both great tools for healing the soil and healing the land. So those are some of my thoughts on some of the points, and I think that pretty much wraps it up in many ways in my eyes, that conversation. I'm very much, or actually I will touch on a few more things, which is that, you know, permaculture and regenerative agriculture, they are still agricultural practices, and they are still, they don't necessarily, in some people's eyes, they wouldn't necessarily fall under the rewilding framework, because, you know, the rewilding framework is that the healthiest state of the land is that in its wild state. But I believe that, you know, in many ways, some agriculturally practicing humans that have damaged the land, it's like metaphorically, and this is not my, you know, this was shared to me by someone else, and I really like it. The idea that humans, not all of us, but many humans, have kind of broken nature's arm. And imagine that, you know, you had a broken arm, or your friend had a broken arm. You wouldn't just leave that broken arm and not put it in a cast in order to heal it, because it would just heal really badly, and it would probably continue to have problems. You need to put it in a cast. And I see regenerative agriculture and permaculture as kind of the cast. I don't see them as, you know, that's the optimal state for nature and humans to be living in. I think that the optimal state for nature and humans to be interacting as a whole is through hunting and gathering. But in areas where the land and the soil has been damaged, I think that permaculture and regenerative agriculture are perhaps a better option, because that ecosystem is no longer functioning to its full capacity, and it needs a system put in place by humans in order to restore and heal that piece of earth, starting with the soil and starting with all the organisms in that area and branching out. And there's many places in nature that have been damaged by agriculture or by civilization that perhaps need these practices. So that's my views on kind of where permaculture and where regenerative agriculture and where these more regenerative practices of agriculture fall into place in the whole idea of rewilding and the way that us humans interact with the ecosystem. So that pretty much wraps it up for today's show. So thank you guys for listening in. If you want to keep updated with what's going on with us travel wise, then I'm going to put a link in the show notes for you to connect with our Instagram account, where we're kind of sharing more of the travel side and the learning side of our adventures and our road trip, which is at Wild Adventures Oz on Instagram. So I'll put a link in that to the show notes. And other than that, keep doing all the good things, keep moving, keep eating well, keep getting out in the sunshine, stay healthy, keep thriving, and we will catch you on the next episode coming out on Tuesday.